is dark, the lonely ache, the burning tears, the bitter nights, the wasted years. Life breaks and falls apart.
To be so amazing. It may be unfulfilled, it may be unrestored, but when anything that's shattered is laid before the Lord, just watch and see, it will not be.
Thank you. Thank you for that reminder that whenever God has something for you, He doesn't waste it. Isn't that awesome? He uses stuff. He uses broken stuff. When we mess it up and it gets all jacked up, God says, that's when I can step in and I can show you my strength and my power. And when everybody else says it's all broken and you're used up and you're no good and you're not worth it, God says, it will not be unredeemed. Thank you for that message. Thank you for that message. I have my sister with us today, my sister Linda from Snyder, and her son, Justin, and his wife, Amber, who was just up here this morning. And their two kiddos are with us today. And it's an honor to have them with us. Thank you for making them feel welcome here at Dolan Baptist Church. We've been talking about essential church. What makes church essential in people's lives? And how do we as people establish church as essential to us? You see, it's a two-way street. We as a church have a responsibility to create, actually, we don't create the church. Jesus Christ established the church, but our responsibility is to use that to be essential in people's lives. But we as individuals have the responsibility to say, I'm going to choose to make church be a necessary part of my life, essential, a necessity. Today, we're going to talk about, we're going to begin the four things that make churches essential in people's lives. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is simplicity. Simpleness. How many of you have not done something because it was complex or hard? That's right. Or difficult or confusing. I mean, you looked at something, you thought, wow, I'd like to have that. And you began to read the instructions and you thought, I really don't want it that bad. You know, maybe you think, I mean, I'll tell you just from personal experience, you know, I kind of like to cook sometimes. And when I'm cooking, I'm looking for recipes that have like five or less ingredients. If it starts listing off all this stuff, this exotic stuff, I'm like, mm-mm, next. It's just too complicated. I don't want to go into all that stuff. Or maybe building something. How many of you like to build stuff? Okay. How many of you like to build real elaborate and extravagant stuff with a lot of scroll work and stuff? I see Austin, and I believe that from you, buddy. I absolutely do believe you. But for me, I want it simple. I want it to have like four walls and semi-square with a roof that sheds water, and that's good. I mean, simple. Performs a function, I want it simple. Cars. Dad, do you remember the day when you could pull your car under the shade tree and get out there and fix whatever was wrong with it? Guess what? Can't do that anymore unless you have the proper diagnostic equipment and the computer this and the specialized tools and all that. You just can't do that. It's complex. So when I think of, I mean, I can still replace, you know, U-joints and wheel bearings and all that kind of stuff. But if I have to go start tuning the injectors and all that, that's like I'm not even touching that. I'm taking that to somebody who knows how to do it because it's not simple. And I want the simple stuff. The thing is that a complex structure can impede the church from becoming healthy. Did you know that in the church, if we get too complex, it just begins to, people, the same attitude you have about all that difficult stuff, I mean, when you're looking at how elaborate something is, and you thought, I don't know, I'm not even going to try that. That's above my head. It's going to take more effort than I want to put into it. A lot of churches are that way. And people say, yeah, I think I'll just not. And so we don't want to be a church that is so complex. I mean, we want to have a lot of offerings and things to offer people and ministries. We want to do that. But it can get so complex and people try to figure out, okay, well, do I do this or do I do that? Because they're kind of competing and I feel like I need to do this, but I'm really pulled over here and I don't understand how that even fits in with this. You see, people, when they see that, they go, yeah, I'll just sit back. And that's not what we want. We want people to be involved. And so to do that, we need to make it simple. Simple. Four things in making things simple. And the first is clarity. Clarity. Making it clear. Making it easy to understand. Making it clear. We must know what church is about. We must know what our purpose is. What's the purpose of Dolan Baptist Church? To love up, to love out, to reach others for Christ. That's on our logo. If you see our logos around. Matter of fact, Taylor, would you mind shooting our logo up on the screen? Our logo, to love up and love out. Here it is. Love up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love up, love out. And then the other commandment is the Great Commission. Right? Reach others for Christ. That's it. That's simple. And we can all know that. And we talked about how that we can know that from our children. Our children can say, okay, at church, we're going to love God, we're going to love each other, and we're going to reach other people for Christ. Our little kids can know that. All the way up to our senior adults can know that. Even ones that have birthdays like yesterday that are getting older can know that. I mean, can't you remember that? Rebecca, can't you remember? Okay, she can remember that. She may not be able to remember it long, but she can remember it today. Bless her heart. People will not continue to come to church just because they're supposed to. How many of you have ever been to church, and be honest, because I'm here too. Not today, but I have been there, where I know that I went to church because I was expected to. That's right. And you know what? And sometimes there's nothing wrong with that, as long as it grows into something else. But people won't continue to go just because it's expected of them. There must be a purpose. Clarity is the what and how. What is the purpose of the church? And how will that purpose be accomplished? So to love up, love out, reach others for Christ. And it's in that order. You see, it's sequential. You need to love God before you can love others. You need to love others before you can tell them about Jesus. Think about this. Let me ask you a question. Think about this statement. Oh, let me tell you about Jesus. I don't love him, but you should. Who's going to buy that? We should love one another. I really don't, but you should. No, we need to be practicing these things ourselves. We need to be loving God. We need to be loving each other. We need to be telling people about Jesus. It has to be in the right order. So we take that order. Love up. Loving God. Listen, every member of Dolan Baptist Church is expected to be a regular participant in worship. And here's the reason why. Because it is in worship that we draw near to God. It's in worship that we draw close to God. So what's our first purpose of our church? To love God. How do we love God? By worshiping Him. So is it important that you're here to worship? Absolutely. Absolutely, it's important. The next one, love others. Love out. Love our neighbors as ourselves. The people of Dolan should be involved in a Sunday school or some other small group. You know, we have Sunday school. We have Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time. We have men's and women's ministry. And I've told you before, if there's something that doesn't fit, let's start something. I'm game. Because if it's through those smaller groups where we learn to build those relationships with each other. Am I right? How many of you in here would say, okay, there's somebody across the room I don't know. What's the likelihood of today in this big group meeting, you going over and striking up a conversation with that person that you've never met before and starting a relationship? It's not as likely as it would be if you're in a smaller setting. So those smaller groups are important. We expect our members to attend worship. We expect our members to get involved in at least one smaller study where there's a smaller group. And listen to this. We expect people of Dolan Baptist Church to be involved in at least one area of ministry or service. And we're going to talk a lot more about that when we get to, because there's going to be a whole sermon on expectations. Remember I told you last Sunday, get your steel-toed boots out? 2 Sundays from now, wear them. Because we're going to talk about how we're going to expect things from one another. We're going to expect you to be at worship. We're going to expect you to be involved in a smaller group study. We're going to expect you to be involved in at least one ministry. Maybe that's VBS, working VBS for a week. That's not a lot. Maybe we expect you to get involved in the part of the prayer group that meets on Tuesday mornings. Maybe it's teaching a class. Maybe it's leading a Bible study in your home. Maybe it's being part of helping with the food pantry. Maybe it's, there's so many different areas of opportunity. Maybe we need someone to help run video stuff. Maybe that's you today and you want to see me right after church and say, sign me up. Brother Mike, I'm in. I'm your videographer today and from now on, because I need one. Maybe that's you. There's so many things that we need, and we need people to step up and say, here I am. This is where I'm going to serve. We achieve clarity by clarifying our purpose. What's our purpose? Love up, love out, reach others for Christ. Stating our purpose as a process of discipleship. We talked about that. It's through discipleship that we clarify our purpose. And we show how the various ministries fit into that overall purpose. Everything we do at Dolan Baptist Church needs to fit under that banner. As leaders, we need to be passionate about this process. You see, growth is a process. Do we want people to grow? Absolutely. Do we expect everybody to have a Paul-like experience where they're walking down the road, God smacks them upside the head and says, turn around, so they turn around and the life is completely changed? We pray for that and hope for that in a lot of people's lives. But guess what? For most of us, it's a process. Most of us, it starts with something small, and it grows, and God teaches us. He builds our confidence. He increases our faith, and we step up to something else. That's how most of us grow. And clarity is not achieved without consistency. You see, it's not something we can just talk about on some Sunday morning sermon and expect it to happen throughout the rest of the year. No, it's going to take consistency. It's something, remember I told you last week, it's going to take all of us. It's going to take a commitment. We're going to have to go into this thing together and say, yes, we're consistently going to love God, love each other, and reach others for Christ. We're consistently going to evaluate everything we do at Dolan Baptist Church to make sure it fits into our purpose. Keeps it simple. Keeps it simple. The second thing about creating a simple type of church, one is clarity, the second is movement. There needs to be movement. Congestion is not good. How many of you have ever had congestion? Throat congestion, chest congestion, head congestion. We have some of our members who aren't here today because they're home with congestion. What does it mean to be congested? Somebody tell me. Stopped up. Great word. Great term. Stopped up. The air just has a hard time getting through, right? The stuff is in the way. We don't get into all the nasty stuff, but there's just stuff that prohibits the movement of air throughout the body, right? Guess what? Our churches can become congested, and it inhibits the movement of the Spirit throughout the body. So we need to be uncongested. We need to take whatever the Allegra D for decongestant or whatever. We need to get the spiritual dose of the decongestant that gets rid of the congestion to allow the Spirit to flow through us. How many of you like to take good deep breaths of air? Air is important. Try not doing it for a while. You'll see how important it is. In many churches, people are suffering with congestion. Churches are congested. Spiritual movement is stifled. People are unchanged. People are unmoved. People are untransformed. They're stagnant. The same old, same old. There's no movement. There's nothing happening. It's just no deep breathing, no life, no, it's just not there. There's a lot of churches that are like that, y'all. We don't want to be one. The Bible paints a different picture of spiritual growth. According to Scripture, we're supposed to be transformed more and more. You see, Paul got transformed big time. And how many of you know somebody who the Lord has got a hold of them and changed their lives big time? That's right. I do too. How many of you know somebody who little bit by little bit, God has been transforming them for a while, and they're completely different now? See, for most of us, it takes a while. But it should be a process. We should be being transformed. The Bible tells us that. There's supposed to be a progression, a movement. Our church should be filled with people who are becoming more and more like Christ, becoming more and more joyful, becoming more and more loving, becoming more and more lovable. I should becoming more and more lovable. Some of you might begin to like me someday. I hope and pray. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. We all, with unveiled faces, are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. He's talking about Moses. Y'all know the story of Moses? Moses went up on the mountain. He went up on the mountain to meet with God. And what happened when Moses came down from meeting with God? Tell me, Austin. They had made a statue of a cow, that's right. But before that, Moses came down and his face was shiny. He was like, ooh, shiny. What's that? It's scary. He's glowing and people were afraid. They're like, dude, cover it up. You're scaring us. They may have asked him, what's that? He said, it's the truth. And they said, we can't handle the truth. Cover it up. It's too much for us. You're frightening us. You're different. There has been something happened to you. We don't understand it. Cover it up. So he put a veil across his face so the people wouldn't be scared, wouldn't be afraid. Moses had an encounter with God. He was transformed. He was different. He was changed. After a while, though, the glory of God would fade from his face. And after a period of time, he could take the veil off and people weren't afraid, because he kind of returned back to normal. Then Moses would go back up on the mountain. And guess what? When he came back down, he was all shiny again. They said, oh, cover it up, cover it up. We can't handle it. It's too much for us. So he'd cover it back up. Guess what? We don't have to climb the mountain each and every time to experience God. We can have that fresh experience all the time because God is with us. You see, we can have a greater level of intimacy than even Moses had, because Moses had to go climb the mountain to be with God. God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, let me tell you something. God is with you. God is in you in His Spirit. You have that presence of God in you all the time. So, are you being transformed? If God is with you, if God is in you, are you showing it? Is it evident to everyone around you? Do people come up to you and say, why are you so happy? Do people come up to you and say, cover up your face? I tried to say that with a straight face, but it's because I used to get that sometimes. Cover up your face, man. But is it because they see God through you? Is it because they see something that they recognize as something more than yourself, shining out of your face? The glory of God doesn't have to fade from our faces. Just as God transformed Moses, He transforms us when we place ourselves in His presence. And He does the work. Isn't this cool? Listen, we don't have to transform ourselves. We don't have to put on the glow makeup or something to fake it, because it doesn't work right. When we're transformed by God, when God does a transformation in our lives, it's evident, and He does the work. That's so cool. All we have to do is say, change me, and be willing, and follow His directions, and He'll change us. The third thing, we need clarity, we need movement, and we need alignment. How many of you have ever driven a car, and you have to drive it like this? Not because of the road. I mean, even on a straight road, you drive and the wheels are like doing this, and sometimes they're like this and they're fighting one another. And you go to the service station or whatever, they say your tires are wearing out. You look and like the outside are bald and the inside have this much tread on them. You say, why is that? It's because your car is out of alignment. You need a new alignment. I need one right now on my vehicle. But it's because things aren't aligned right and they're wearing wrong. The same thing happens with us at church. Listen, at the end of Jesus' life here on earth, He prayed that His believers would be one. He prayed that they would be unified. In John chapter 17, verse 21, He says, May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us so that the world may believe you sent me. There's a purpose to that. May there be unity so that the world will know that you sent me. That's why we need to be unified. That's why we need to be aligned. We need to be working with each other, not against each other. Not fighting. And the operator has to decide which one he's going to lead. No. We need to be in line. We need to be aligned. Jesus prayed that we would be as united as the Trinity is. He said, as we're one, let them be one. Intimate and aligned. Unity reflects the glory and the character of God because God is unified. The Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son, they don't argue. They don't say, I'm going to do this, and the other one goes, it's not a good idea. We're not going to go with you on that one. You're on your own. We're going to do this. No, I don't want to do that. They're united. They have one purpose and one goal. We should be the same. Jesus continues in John 17, verses 22 through 23. He says, I have given them the glory you given me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be made completely one so that the world will know you have sent me and have loved them just as you have loved me. There's a purpose. May we be unified so that the world will know that God has sent Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. Not only does unity reflect God's character, but it also gets the attention of the world. You see, people are attracted to unity. People have little time or patience for a church that is divided. How many of you have ever heard of or been to a church that is fussing and fighting? How attractive is that? It's not. It's not attractive at all. When we're aligned, when we're unified, people think, wow, there's something I want to be part of. There's a purpose. Everybody's streamlined. They're going in one direction, and I want to jump on board. That's what people want. That's what people need. But we need. Jesus said the world would know that we're his disciples by our love for one another. Alignment is the arrangement of everything around a simple process. So everything here at Dolan Baptist Church, I believe, needs to be wrapped up in the purpose. Love God, love others, and reach others for Christ. From the children, the youth, the adults, the women, the men, the music, the worship. I mentioned the food pantry, the homecoming, the decorating committee, the whatever. All needs to be united for the same purpose. Unity is promoted when the church is aligned. Having the same process everywhere presents the church from having multiple directions. Remember I told you last week? The goal, the mission of our children's ministry is to teach them to love God, to love others, and to reach others for Christ. Ask me what the mission of any ministry of our church should be, and it will be this, to teach people to love God, to love each other, and to reach others for Christ. To help people love God, to love each other, and to help people reach others for Christ. That's what we need to be about. That's biblical. That's scriptural. Everything. There may be different methods of doing those things. There need to be different methods of teaching that to different age groups, different types of people. But the goal should be the same. If the church is only a group of loosely related activities, people will spend their time elsewhere. You see, people want to make a difference. We really want to make a difference. And here's the deal. We need to make a difference. We need to place ourselves in a position to where we're making a difference. We're building something. We're working towards something. We're working towards the goal. The last thing we're going to talk about this morning. Part of what it takes to be simple, we need clarity, we need movement, alignment, and then we need focus. Focus. How many of you have ever taken a magnifying glass in an anthill? Or a magnifying glass in a piece of paper? What happens when you take the sunlight and you put it through that magnifying glass and it focuses down all of that energy, focus into one small beam? What happens? You can burn yourself, can't you? You can burn an ant. You can burn a piece of paper. You can set a piece of wood on fire. You can melt plastic. I might get in trouble getting some ideas. It's not a good idea to do that, kids. Only under the direct supervision of your parents should that ever occur. Did that help? Probably not. Okay. But focus is this. Focus means to say yes to those things that fit under the purpose. And sometimes it means saying no to some things that are outside of that purpose. To keep things simple, remember? To keep things simple, it needs to have direction. It needs to have focus. It needs to be on. Needs to be aligned. We need to have unity. We need to be to where we can see this directly fits in with the purpose of Dolan Baptist Church. And sometimes focus is where things get hard. And it's the hardest sometimes because of some things that are called sacred cows. You know what a sacred cow is? It's a cow that people would not sacrifice because it's sacred to them. They'll sacrifice other things, but not the sacred cow. You see, we have sacred cows. All churches have sacred cows. Maybe it's a certain tradition that we say, well, we'll give up everything else. We'll give up all this stuff, but not this one, because this really is something that we've been doing this forever, and we really believe it. Although it may not fit in with our purpose, we can't get rid of it because it's what we've always done. Maybe it's a piece of furniture. How many of you have ever been in some churches that every other piece of furniture in the church has a plaque on it? Anybody ever seen that before? This toilet was given in the honor of John. It's a kind of a funny word there, yeah. But when that piece of furniture wears out, what do you do with it? You don't get rid of it because of the plaque. And so this thing hangs around. Now, I'm not saying I'm against people giving stuff to the church. But what I'm saying is, if something becomes more important than the Word of God in the church, we need to rethink it. Maybe it's a schedule. Maybe it's our schedule. You know, 10:30 is our time. I'm not looking to change the schedule, y'all. Some of you, I see you're starting to have heart palpitations, and I just want to put you at ease. But listen, if something were to happen and we need to change our schedule, we need to look at that. And if it fits in with our purpose, then we need to change the schedule. We need to be able to be flexible enough to say whatever we need to do and be to reach others for Christ, to love up, love out, and reach others for Christ, we need to do that. And if it involves our schedule, we need to be willing to do that. If it involves an event, we need to be willing to do that. Focus. One thing. Paul talks about one thing in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. He focused on the prize. He only did those things that moved him closer to the prize. He says this, "Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, one thing, forgetting what is behind me and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue my goal, the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." You see, the one thing that compelled Paul to move forward was his spiritual journey. What caused Paul to move forward in his spiritual journey was Christ-likeness. He wanted to be more like Christ. He wanted to wake up tomorrow more like Christ than when he went to bed tonight. He wanted to be more like Christ at the end of the day than he was when he woke up. That's focus. That's alignment. That's movement. That's clarity. That needs to be us. Everything else that in Paul's life that weighed him down, he got rid of. He had focus, and we must do the same. All of this stuff we've talked about today, y'all, is directed towards simplicity. Love up, love out, and reach others for Christ. You see, everything must fall under this banner. If we'll do that, simplicity will be achieved. And we'll become even more effective in accomplishing the task that God has given to us as a church. That's to go, to preach, to make disciples, to baptize. But listen, before we can do these things, we need to be clear about what we believe and what we know about God. So next Sunday, we will look at how to deepen our understanding of the truths found in the Bible. We'll begin to talk about how do we get deeper? How do we gain more understanding? How do we study and learn those deep biblical truths? The stuff that's below the surface. You know, God is love, and that's great. That's awesome. But there's so much more to God. How do we get there? We'll begin talking about that next week. So, before we can preach the truth, we must know the truth. You see, there's a sequence. Before you can go out and tell somebody how to be saved, you need to be saved first. Before you can go out and tell somebody about the power of God, you have to have experienced the power of God. In order to know the truth, we must go deep. I have complete expectations that the Holy Spirit has spoken to someone today. Not because of my words, but because the Spirit is stronger. I'm so thankful for that, because if y'all relied on me and my words, I'm afraid I would fail you miserably. But the Spirit can speak to you. He speaks to me. He speaks to us, and He tells us the truth. He convicts us. He comforts us. He does so many things. The Holy Spirit, I believe, can speak to you today. And if He's spoken to you, let me change that, because I believe the Spirit has spoken to you. If you've heard it, if you've recognized it, if you have been listening to it, I challenge you to respond to it. If you've heard the voice of God today, let me encourage you to respond to it. Maybe God is calling you to accept His gift of salvation. Maybe God is saying to you, it's time. It's your time. I've been waiting for you. Maybe God is telling you, you know what? Now it's time to move. You've been congestion. We're about to clear it out. We're going to start you moving. I'm going to give you focus. Maybe you're asking today, God, give me focus. I want to take the power that you have, and I want to focus it like that magnifying glass, and I want to be powerful and effective for you. Maybe you're here today and you think, wow, you know what? I didn't realize there was more to this thing than just walking down the aisle and taking the preacher by the hand and shaking it and filling out a paper. I didn't really know there was more to this Christianity thing. Guess what? There's so much more. And it gets better and better and better. And if that's you today, maybe you need to commit yourself. I am all in. I'm not just going to be a surface level Christian. I'm diving in. I'm going deep. Maybe that's you today. Maybe God's telling you need to step up. Become our video person. Become a teacher. Start a group at your house on one evening or one morning. Let's talk about that. Let's figure that out. But this is your time. If God has been speaking to you, oh, don't put it off. Respond to it. Let us know what God's doing in your life. The prayer altars are open this morning. I'll be standing here in front. Would love to visit with you. Open the scriptures and let's talk about it. Let's look at some things. Let's see what God is saying to you. But let me encourage you to respond. Don't be afraid of what somebody's going to think of you. This is a safe place. This is a safe place. As God leads you, you respond. Let's stand up and sing a song.